everyone for joining us today. We've received an incredibly positive response to our interview series where our senior leaders and subject matter experts share knowledge and insights on the cooperative model. These live sessions are being recorded and shared with our members and stakeholders both here in New Zealand and internationally. Today, I have the pleasure of welcoming Grant Fraser. Grant's the Chief Legal and Property Officer for Mitre 10. Grant also holds the role of Mitre 10's Executive Sponsor for Sustainability. Welcome, Grant.
Kia ora, Ros. It's great to be here with you today.
Thanks for joining us. I'm sure everyone will appreciate your time and input. Hey, Grant, tell us a bit about Mitre 10 as a cooperative and your role, because not everyone will understand exactly the breadth of your role.
Yeah, sure. Look, if I start with Mitre 10 first, a lot of our stores have been in existence for quite some time. Some of them have been well over 100 years, so we've got a very proud history and tradition across our store network. Mitre 10 itself came into existence around about 1974, and then since that time has grown substantially. We've now got 84 stores across the country, spanning from Kaitaia all the way down to Invercargill. And that's both our larger mega stores and smaller Mitre 10 format stores as well. We've been able to offer a strong home improvement offer for all of that time, but we've continued to grow, particularly in trade, and looking always to broaden out and making sure that we're meeting the needs of our customers. In terms of my role, as you said, the Chief Legal and Property Officer, so have core responsibility for legal and the property across the Mitre 10 network. In particular, though, in more recent times, we identified that sustainability was something becoming increasingly important to our customers. And so we've started developing a program which we've had underway for some time now. And I've got the pleasure of being able to be the executive sponsor of that. It's something I'm passionate about, and I think it's of critical importance to ourselves, our communities, and the country as well.
Yeah, I have to say, I agree with you about the criticality of the sustainability issue that we're facing. And for all of us who've got younger ones coming, growing up, it is absolutely critical. So just in terms of Mitre 10 and the range of sustainability initiatives, obviously you're looking at that in terms of future-proofing yourself. Can you tell us more about that in terms of what drove the cooperative to engage in these initiatives? What does this entail for the business, and what are the challenges that you faced along the way?
Yeah, sure. Look, I think that in terms of us first establishing our sustainability program, it was really important to us to listen and get feedback from our stores and our members, and also understanding what our customers were telling us about this too. And I think the really clear message, and it's an increasing groundswell, was the importance of sustainability. And for us, we've centred in around making a real and sustainable impact for our environment operations and the communities that we're part of. And if you think about cooperatives, that's often, I think, a key differentiation or strength of ours, is the fact that we are part of our communities. Our stores have got a long history and often are the major employers of their towns and their regions, and have a really important part to play in their communities. So in establishing our sustainability program, we looked at four main pillars. One was our customers and our communities, our team, and our sourcing, our suppliers, and then our physical footprint, our stores, our support centre. And we centre back in around those as being the areas that we really want to focus in from an initiative's point of view. In terms of trying to embark on the journey, it was first really important to get the foundations right. And I think where we are on that journey, it's something you never complete, but we've got now some of the key foundations. We have a sustainability charter that we've developed along with a sustainability policy. That is the key foundational documents that help guide us and where we're going to focus. And we've developed a plan which basically takes us out to 2025 in terms of the staged focus areas that we want across each of those pillars. Because it's not possible to do everything immediately. You need to be able to do it in a staged way. But we feel that if we can keep building on the foundations that we've got, the strong community presence that we already have, and the fantastic work that a lot of our stores are doing in their local regions, then we can help to supplement that with national initiatives and getting the buy-in from our teams, you know, our stores and our local communities as well.
Yeah, I really like the comment you made there in terms of a sustainability journey is never complete. You know, this is something that's going to be continuing on for our lifetimes and future generations to come. So I agree, it's absolutely critical that it's seen as a long-term, not a one-stop shop. In terms of your members, how are you keeping your internal stakeholders engaged and supportive of these initiatives? Because obviously that's quite a big challenge to overcome.
Yeah, and look, you're right. You know, we have, as I said, you know, 84 stores across the country, and it's really important to make sure that you bring them on the journey. And then if I step back from that, we've got you know, over 6,000 team members across the country as well. And what we've identified, I think, the true success of our sustainability journey and the improvements we want to make is to get the buy-in of those. So we've looked to actually establish sustainability champions across the our network of stores. We've got 49 currently. So we don't necessarily have champions in every store, but it's something that which is continuing to grow. But that is also a recognition of that you can't necessarily take a, you know, one-size-fits-all approach. We've got certain stores who are very keen to really drive various initiatives and really passionate team members as well. And then we have some other stores, some of them smaller, that might not necessarily have, you know, as easy access to resources. So we need to be able to help support them and make sure that then we can enable them to take up activities, initiatives when they're in a position to be able to do so. So that engagement and buy-in is really important, you know, regular communication. So we send out, you know, monthly updates in terms of activities that are happening and looking to, you know, share those through various channels as well. And it's important that that's a, you know, two-way process. So the sustainability champions we have in the stores are increasingly a great way in which they can start identifying, you know, activities, initiatives that they see value in, that then we can feed back in and look to then potentially roll it out on a more national basis. You know, a couple of examples of things that we've got that are happening or have launched relatively recently. So we partnered with Expol, as we had one of our supplier partners, to recycle consumer polystyrene. So we've got 24 stores currently where customers can bring back their polystyrene, and then that is picked up, collected by Expol to be able to then repurpose and recycle, reuse for insulation, the insulation products that they provide. Another great example is work that we're doing with Naylor Love and Unitech. You know, building or construction demolition waste is a major waste stream, an issue across our industry. And so we're trialing with them reusable timber covers. So a lot of that traditionally is plastic, which then goes to landfill. So working with them in one of our stores, particularly here in Auckland, Mega Glenfield, we've partnered with them to be able to trial actually how we can reduce the level of waste. And, you know, we're seeing some really positive signs with that. If I go back to the Expo example, I think it's something like 5,500 cubic metres of polystyrene now has been able to be, you know, reused and repurposed. And that's within about sort of 6 months that we've been operating the program, and it's continuing to grow. And I think it really illustrates the value that our customers see in it. But also by enabling us to sort of trial and pilot some of these, we can get the stores that are able to and really passionate about it to take it on board. And at the same time, we learn from that experience to be able to see that how can we roll it out more broadly across the wider network.
Yeah, I think what you're saying there in terms of the customer, because I know for myself as a consumer, there's always a level of guilt when you buy something and you can see all the packaging and you're feeling like, well, crumbs, why is there all this packaging? How do we get away from that? So the fact that you're working back through the supply chain to look at achieving that outcome is fantastic. You know, obviously you're a cooperative and you operate under the Rochdale principles. And I guess one of the things that our members are always keen to learn about in a broader audience is, you know, how do you work with your fellow cooperatives? Because one of the principles is around that whole collaboration piece. So, you know, what are your plans in terms of collaborating around the sustainability initiatives with others into the future?
Yeah, look, that's a really good question. And for us, you know, we see the benefit of working with others. I don't think there's going to be possible were necessarily the right approach to try and solve everything on your own. So, you know, those couple of examples I've given, it's working with other, you know, industry players, stakeholders. So more often than not, we're looking to see where we can partner with others to come up with solutions that are going to be, you know, viable and work well, not necessarily just for our own benefit, but potentially for the benefit of others as well. And I think with the cooperative network that we have across New Zealand, it's, you know, it's a very strong presence. I actually think there's more that we can do in that space. And these types of interviews that you're doing and the opportunities you're giving for people to be able to share their stories, I think is a great way and a role that NZ Co-op has to, you know, help us to get that greater collaboration happening across cooperatives and across the industry as well. Because if you think about New Zealand, you know, we're only 5 million people, so it's very challenging to solve everything on our own. So the more that we can actually work together, share ideas, come up with common ways of being able to reach solutions, I think it's going to be far more powerful and actually ultimately deliver far better outcomes for the country and, you know, our customers and our broader communities too.
Oh, that's great. And I think I know that feedback from a range of our members that already collaborate with Mitre 10, they feel a real sense of that desire to actually work together. So I think that's been fantastic. And one in particular comes to mind in terms of Interflora, because I know that they're very aware of reduction in plastics. So,
yeah.
You know, it's a win-win if everyone can work together to achieve the outcome. Yeah. Just in terms of, before we wrap up, Grant, is there anything else that you'd like to share with the members?
Yeah, probably a couple of things. One is, and look, this is more specific to Andrew, but some, you know, recent research that we got through 3TL NZ, it just really highlights the increasing importance that consumers are placing on sustainability. And effectively what they say is that 48% of customers believe, it, you know, retailers, that is, it's highly important that they're taking a responsible approach to sustainability and social issues. In fact, 85% of them would potentially change their retailer and or the product if they believe that there was a more sustainable option out there. So I think, you know, there's a real clear sense coming out of the feedback, the research that we're seeing that this is becoming more and more important. And I think actually coming out of COVID too, if anything, it's brought that even more to life. We've seen an increasing importance that people have been placing on their home and really wanting to invest in their home and do the right thing by their communities and their environment too. And I think that's something that's probably going to be increasingly relevant for, you know, other cooperatives, other businesses as well, to make sure that they're focusing in on. And I think the last part with that is, it is very much a journey. You don't necessarily reach an end point with this, but it's something you've got to keep working on. And if you think about the aspiration now with the Climate Commission report that's been finalised and has gone back to the government for them to, you know, to set budgets and targets by the end of this year, you know, we're on a path where we all need to be playing our part, whether that's, you know, carbon footprint reductions, ethical sourcing. You know, these are all areas that we're looking at as well. But I think that's, it's a journey that we all have to be part of, and that we all need to make sure that we can, you know, keep the focus on it, because it's not just one thing that's going to be the solution. I think it's going to be a whole myriad of elements and different areas that we focus on that will really get us to where we need to be.
That's fantastic, Grant. And I think, you know, everyone who's listening to this will really appreciate your insights that you've provided today. And, you know, I guess from the perspective of thinking about organisations such as yourself that are New Zealand owned and the profits remain in New Zealand, that's a really good story to be telling everyone out there in terms of your focus on the sustainability and how they too can apply these measures, whether it's a co-op or any other business model. For anyone out there who'd like to engage on the cooperative business model or considering establishing a co-op here in New Zealand, or if you're interested in being part of our network and engaging with your peers such as Grant, please do get in touch. Cooperative Business New Zealand's members sit across multiple industries, and these businesses generate a significant proportion of New Zealand's GDP. Mitre 10 obviously being one. We're just about to get the PwC report out, which reconfirms that you're about 18% of New Zealand's GDP. So really significant contributors. And we'd really welcome you to be part of this community. So thanks again, Grant, and kia kaha, everyone.